Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in and pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
That was very ominous.
I have a bit of a cold, if you can't tell. That was not forced.
I actually couldn't tell. You warned me earlier that you might have some voice issues, and I was waiting for, like, scratchy, sexy, low-voice, cold Ryan, and it was just kind of like, hey, it's Ryan. I was like, oh, so disappointing.
It just sounds weaker, like, you know. I always made sure not to talk much when I was in school when I had a cold, because then the bullies would be attracted to me more. But, you know, you don't get that deep voice that makes people want to stay away. Yeah, I'm not even contagious, so I don't even have that going for me.
And yet you stayed home from work, slacker. Were you at least playing something fun when you stayed home from work today?
Yeah, in between snot rag sessions and whatnot.
But
we went there.
Your controller must be gross.
Well, that's the beauty of being at home
sticking.
And a pause button where you can get up and wash your hands after that big final sneeze. Why would we talk about this?
I'm pretty sure you brought it up.
Probably. But no, I have been playing a lot. Actually, since we last recorded, we talked about WoW and how my subscription was lapsing. And I said, okay, WoW, I'm going to try you once more this weekend. And I didn't, because I came to the conclusion with WoW. WoW will always hold this special place in my gaming heart because it was my first MMO, and whenever a new expansion comes out, I'm not even at the point where I'm going to battle with myself. I'm just going to pick it up, play it for a bit, you know, enjoy it for what it is, and then move on from there. But I think I enjoyed it a lot when I played it before, and I don't know if I could recapture that, and I'm more than happy to jump in from time to time. But
the thing is, one of the things that they did and one of the things that I've been playing, and I'm totally not stealing your thunder right now, is in 5.4, there's the thing called the Timeless Isle, and you can actually get really sweet gear out of treasure chests if you're level 90. Mm. So I think some of the stuff I was picking up was all level 496, which is pretty much, I think if your item level is 496, you can get into the raids. So it basically, if you're 90 and don't have any gear like me, you can go to the Timeless Isle and open a few treasure chests a day, and there's always a chance for this loot to drop, and then it just automatically, when you right-click it, makes an item that is, you know, so if you get like a mail helm, then I can't remember what they're called, not legendary, timeless mail helm maybe, because it's a Timeless Isle. Right. You can right-click it and it makes a mail helm of whatever your spec is. So, like, I'm a Beastmaster hunter, so it makes me good Beastmaster gear based on whatever the token is that I find. So, yeah, it's a really good way to gear up if you do want to do all of the later on stuff in the expansion once you hit 90. It's really, really fast. Mm-hmm. You have to try not to actually pull anything on the island, because even though they're all level 90s, they're really, really hard. If you pull, like, two things, then death.
Are they, like, elite mobs or something?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, and I'm not saying I won't play WoW until the next expansion comes out. I'll probably sub back in.
You better.
You know, at some point to get my character up to 90 to enjoy whatever next expansion. Because I really enjoy, I didn't mean to turn this into WoW talk, but whenever it comes to WoW, I always really enjoyed the story bits and the content while you level. As opposed to the raiding. Now, I don't know whether that's because I just don't like raiding, I don't like the time commitment thing, or the fact that I just never got into it. I love new content. I enjoyed Pandaria for what I played of it. I know I'm missing out on a ton of stuff, and the people out there who are big WoW fans are just like, but
you're missing out on a lot of the grindy stuff, too. I mean, like, I've noticed. There's so many cool things. And I'm like, oh, my God, I really want to get X. How do I get X? Oh, you have to do these same 5 quests with this one faction for the next 45 days. And I'm like, oh.
And I did that. I mean, I didn't do that specific content, but I did that sort of, like, run on the treadmill for 2 weeks, and then you'll finally get that carrot, you know? Like, I'm not trying to demean MMO players. I'm just saying that, like, it's fun, don't get me wrong, but it's only fun for so long, for me, personally.
I needed a change. I pet battled all day today, trying to get the achievements and, like, get all the last pets I was missing to get my tamer and brawler achievements and stuff, and Yeah, so you do, you need a change, which is why I like WoW so much, is that I can log in on a day and just be like, oh man, I really need a change, and there's 800 things to do, so I can go, you know what, F all that, I'm going to go pet battle for a day, and you totally can, and anyways. So, you haven't been playing WoW, no. What have you been playing?
I did one of those things that are so hard to do, and that's go back to a game that I have not played in over a year. And I did this twice with this game. I was playing Skyrim for, I think I put 20 hours into it since the last time we talked.
Whoa, wait.
What?
The last time we talked about Skyrim? Or the last time we talked as in 7 days ago?
7 days ago. I had a busy weekend and then I was homesick and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't think. All I had to do was sit there and just aim my crossbow. And luckily there's a button and a perk that allows me to slow down and aim carefully. and again, the pause button, very key, something you don't have in MMOs.
Can you aim while sneezing?
No, that's where you just turn the difficulty down a snidge, and then you make
a snidge.
A smidge. Sorry, my brain is elsewhere right now. I got into it, I think a year ago, we talked, I'm going to get back into Skyrim, and I ended up beating the main quest, and that was before the DLC came, and kind of dropped it again, and then all the DLC came out, and I bought it all, and didn't play it at all, until last Saturday. I think I had the entire day to myself. It's like, I'm going to try to get back into this, and it literally took me 3 or 4 hours to get back into it. Like, it felt so foreign to me, like, how do you do your inventory and all the, you know, doing the combat and
you,
what items
you have
use.
Kinect, though. Do you have it on your Xbox or do you have it on your PC?
PC.
Oh, too bad. Because I was going to say, inventory is easy. You just have to, like, talk to it and say, sort by weight and whatever else you can do with the Kinect. Yeah. Well, never mind. Forget that. Yeah, inventory is a bitch.
Yeah.
But your PC, there's probably a mod for that.
Well, there is, and I mean, I need to really... I should have done this 20 hours ago, but I need to go in and, like, find the best Skyrim mods. Unfortunately, all the good ones aren't really supported by Steam Workshop, which is really the easiest. But I just jumped in and just like, all right, I'm going to make this work, and kept hitting my head against the wall until it finally clicked. And then before I knew it, I had been all the way through Dawnguard. Still working on my first house on Hearthfire?
Hearthfire, yeah, I think. Yeah. The only thing in my head is Hearthstone, and I'm like, no, wrong. Bad Jocelyn.
Still don't have Hearthstone. But
I haven't played in about a week, though.
Yeah, I'm at the point.
I've dropped off.
Yeah, you're kind of at the point where it's like, yeah, I'm going to wait until this comes out. I've tried it, and...
Well, because I know at some point they're resetting your decks. I'm not 100% sure if they're going to reset all of your characters, so I don't really want to level up all my characters and then have to do it all over again when the actual game comes out. So, which I'm pretty sure is going to be BlizzCon, which is in November. So, I mean, really, that's not that long to wait. If it doesn't come out at BlizzCon, I'd be shocked.
I think I predict around BlizzCon as well. That makes perfect sense for them. And, with the... how far did you get into, like, Dawnguard and all the DLC stuff for Skyrim? Because I know you beat the main campaign.
I beat all of the main quest lines that come with Skyrim. Uh-huh. I did about, I think, 3/4 of the Dawnguard stuff. I didn't finish it, but I did a big chunk of it. We probably, I don't know, do you think we can do spoilers? Dawnguard's been out for a while now.
It's been like
eight or nine months. Oh, is it over a year? Oh,
I think it came out last... Jeez. March-ish.
Oh my
it?
God, yeah, because we totally started doing the show right after Skyrim came out, because that's where the whole, like, in medieval type theme came from, because we were so in a Skyrim space at the time when we created the Gamers Inn. So that means Skyrim's almost 2 years old, dude. We've been doing this show almost 2 years. We're 10 episodes away from 100. How did that even happen?
Well, what happens is yeah, I don't know. When great games keep coming out, we're going to keep talking about them. Just works, I guess.
I can't believe it was 2 years ago. So, yeah. So
Skyrim's old.
Skyrim is old. Yeah. Oh, my God. Poor Skyrim.
it's gotten a lot of arrows to the knee. And, oh, jeez. No, we're starting that up again, aren't we?
Yeah.
Actually,
so, anyways.
Go, yeah,
we
go.
We can go into spoilers. Sure. After figuring out how old it is, we can totally do spoilers. So, Skyrim, I got into, I guess, the other world that you go to in Dawnguard. Or the other dimension or something. The Cairn.
Not the Cairn.
Hell, but the whatever it's called. The kind of spirit world thing.
Yeah, it's like the...
I talked to some chick, and then I think she might have been my mom or somebody's mom. I can't remember.
It was somebody's mom. Yes, you're right. Okay. You're remembering.
Well, okay, I haven't played it in like 8 months, so cut me some slack on my story here. Right. And then... I did the quests and stuff in there, and then I think I was on my way out back to confront someone, or...
Someone's father.
You're always confronting someone in Skyrim, so I don't really know.
Probably a dragon? But
I did something about a thing.
Your companion. Now, did you go vampire or Dawnguard?
Vampire.
Okay, you went vampire. Interesting, because I went Dawnguard, so now we'll...
Oh, so you don't even know what I'm talking about.
No. It's the same storyline after a certain...
How can it be the same story?
Because you were working with the vampire chick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the same story in the sense that I assume if you become a vampire, she takes you aside and says, "Hey, these guys are fucking crazy," and then you walk away, and then you go to the Dawnguard and say, "Hey, guys, we should team up, yo, even though we're vampires." Well, what happens to me is, like, oh, fuck you, I'm not becoming a vampire, and I walk away, and I go back to the Dawnguard. It's like, man, those vampires are crazy. And then the sister vampire or whatever comes over and is like, "Hey, guys, those guys are crazy. My mom and dad are, like, fighting, and then they're crazy." So she joins up with us, and then I think it's the same storyline, except there's, like, differing...
so funny.
Text dialogue, probably.
I do remember being this kind of, like, I thought I was going to take over or, like, inherit the vampires somehow. But I can't remember. I definitely don't remember any Dawnguard actual, like, Norse people in my story yet.
Oh, okay.
Other than I think they tried to kill me once or twice. And if I go too close to certain locations in Skyrim, because I'm a vampire, they'll try to kill me.
So,
it's like places that used to be friendly now aren't.
Interesting. Well, I don't know for sure. It just felt like when I was playing, like, I was like, well, if this chick, like the vampire, like defects, basically, she's trying to, you know, get rid of her father.
Yeah, I think in the vampire storyline, you're like you're with the chick and you're trying to overthrow her dad, I guess.
So the Dawnguard are still evil then? You don't ever go to the Dawnguard once you become a vampire. Oh, okay, well, maybe it is a little more different.
I'm not that far yet, but I feel like I was about... I mean, I think I put about 5 to 7 hours into my Dawnguard storyline. So, I mean, I think I read somewhere it's about 10 to 15 hours of gameplay. So, I mean, I've got to be about halfway through.
Yeah, I think you are. I mean, I probably ended around 10 to 15, and I'd be interested to see what kind of overlap there is, because when I was playing it, it felt like it could have overlapped, but it's interesting that it doesn't, because then it probably feels a lot more natural. But a lot more work for Bethesda in that sense to make two separate campaigns. I have a save point at a point where I made the choice. I might go back. You know, this is sort of like Mass Effect in the sense that it's like, oh man, I'm going to go through this good, and then when I finish it all, I'm going to go back again and do it as an evil guy. And, like, you look at your time played, and that's, like, over 200 hours across three games. It's like, you know what? I experienced it.
I don't know what add-on it is that I have, but there's some add-on I have in WoW that basically gives me my slash played every single time I log in. So it tells me, like, how long I've played overall and how long I've played at this level, which never used to be depressing. But now that I've hit 90, it's like 3 days, 21 hours, and blah, blah, blah at this level. And I'm just like, oh.
Well.
I can never go past that.
Oh, not for a while. I mean.
Well, yeah, true.
I remember when that was happening when I was playing, and it was like... It was weird.
Yeah.
When you're max level. Yeah. So yeah, Dawnguard is really neat. I think it's definitely worth the $20 when it did come out. I mean, we're not going to start talking about price. It's like, what? It's a year over a year old, but...
Well, and actually, they just announced... I got the email last week, I guess. And they are now selling like a big boxed collector's edition of the PC versions of all the Elder Scrolls games with all the DLC. So you get everything from Arena through Daggerfall. Was that the second one?
Did you play the old ones?
I didn't play the first two. I played Morrowind, Oblivion, and Skyrim.
Okay.
So all the PC versions, all the DLC maps. and that is, I believe, $80 or $90 at GameStop.
That's a good deal.
They're limited edition type things. Like, they only have a couple per store, and I think it just came out on Tuesday. So, I mean, Amazon might have them, but...
Now, is that something you'd be interested in?
Absolutely. I tried to send it to my mom as a Christmas list idea, and then it bounced back and told me her email was no good. And then, so I sent her another email, and it went through, and it was fine. And I was like, oh, but she must have, like, links blocked or something like that.
Weird.
But yeah,
maybe it's like
Mom,
super
if you're
spam.
Listening, I really want the Elder Scrolls limited edition PC thingy. You should get that with the maps. Make sure there's maps.
I never played one or two. Those were before sort of my like hardcore gaming time. I think they were like probably '90s, like early '90s.
Yeah, Brian Dunaway from The Final Score actually played the second Elder Scrolls. Again, I can't remember what it's called. I'm pretty sure it's Daggerfall, but I'm not 100% sure. He played it for, they do an old school segment where Brian goes and plays old games badly.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which I know you're aware of. Yeah, so he played it, and it was literally like, it looked like almost Doom. Like, you know, that kind of wandering through, like, a kind of hallways and, you know, like, dungeon-themed, obviously, but still hallways. And then, like, rats, and he couldn't figure out how to swing his weapon. So it was like, you got killed by a rat.
over and over. Poor Brian. He should maybe have someone help him out with those.
But it's very, very old. I have no idea if it's actually open world. But Morrowind I played when it came out. And that was back in the early 2000s. 2002 or 2003, I think it came out. So
that game was revolutionary in my eyes when I saw people playing it. I could never get into it. It was just like Oblivion. It was too big for me, you know. I kind of saw it.
Yeah, I loved Oblivion too.
And played a little bit of it, but I got lost. And it was almost, I almost had this problem with Skyrim, but I powered through where, you know, you're given a quest log and you're walking through town and it's like, this is what I'm doing. And then someone walks up to you. It's like, hey, my friend got stuck in a painting and I need you to come through the painting and help me, which was an actual quest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, well, sure. He's like, you got to come now. And he's like, oh, fine, whatever. Just open a quest log, switch quests, run in, save some guy out of a painting. Then all of a sudden you forget, oh, I got to close a bunch of Oblivion gates or something. I don't know. And I stopped playing because it was like, I lost interest in it. And this same thing happened with Skyrim like twice for me. But I think this time I'm actually going to finish it. Because what is it? The final expansion? I should know this. I'm playing it.
I don't actually own it. Dragonborn?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's another D, Dragonborn. It's kind of interesting. It's like, it feels like it's the true post-main quest DLC.
Mm.
Because it specifically references some stuff that happens at the end of Skyrim.
Well, and I'm pretty sure that you can't actually unlock, like, the other one, Dawnguard, you can unlock and play starting, I believe, at level 15 or 20. It's kind of, it's another side quest, the same as, like, the Thieves Guild or anything else. So you can access it and play it at any time that you want to, but I'm 99% sure that until you finish the main quest line, you can't play Dragonborn. Like, it doesn't matter what your level is, it doesn't open up until the end of the game.
Which is cool, because it feels like with Skyrim, it was sort of like, one of the reasons I stopped playing is I finished the main quest, and it's like, all right, you're done, but there's everything else. If you want to do it, you can do it. There's no motivation because you beat the main guy, and all the rest of the stuff's kind of trivial, right? Because the end of the world isn't happening as you know it until you start the quest, and the mage guild kind of, well...
blows up.
Yeah, kind of starts the end of the world. With this, it's sort of like... reignites that need for you to get shit done, because the world is ending, so you better. And the other thing too is it gives you this whole new island. One of the quests in Dawnguard, the way Skyrim works is some of the quests sort of like have the same objective but randomized locations. And the locations it was drawing from were actually in the new continent that Dragonborn offered, and I hadn't unlocked it yet, so the quest was bugged in the sense that it's like, go kill somebody at the Herodrum house, but the Herodrum, or whatever they called it, was in Solithium or whatever. I don't know if that's what it's called, but it starts with an S. So I finally unlocked that, and so that's another cool thing about Dragonborn is it's a whole new continent to explore.
Right.
It feels kind of, it feels very different from Skyrim proper. You know, there's not a lot. There is some mountainous, snowy areas, but there's also some really cool, like what feels like a desert area.
Cool.
It just made me look forward so
Morrowind was a lot of desert.
Yeah, and actually, that's funny you mention it because they mention Morrowind a lot because the continent that you're on that starts with an S it actually belongs to the people of Morrowind,
right.
The Dark Elves. So they do reference it as a part of Morrowind, and you're not in Skyrim anymore, you stupid Nord. So it's kind of neat because it sort of keeps calling back to like the olden.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the olden days, because Morrowind probably took place like years and years ago. But I'm really digging it. It makes me want to play a next gen Elder Scrolls game so much.
I know, right? And I'm very, very excited for Elder Scrolls Online because I think it's going to be so different, and because I really like PvP. Although I got into some PvP situations by accident on Timeless Isle in WoW, and it didn't go very well for me. I got my ass handed to me.
Oh no!
It's just like, well, and I mean, like, I'm not geared for anything, and these are all like fully geared, really into WoW people that were playing the patch on the first day, and I was just like running around, and I'm like, arrow, oh, I'm dead. Oh man, that was fast.
Were they paladins?
No, one was a mage.
Mage.
Which I think is the problem, is that I can really kick ass if it's a melee person, because I'm just like, bounce, pew, with my arrows, and they're like, ah. But then I get another ranged person, and I'm just like, oh. Bad news.
It's funny you mentioned Elder Scrolls Online, because I was just, as I was playing, just before we started the show, I was playing a bit of Skyrim, and I was like, man, I'm really looking forward to this on next gen consoles. And we're actually getting that next year with Elder Scrolls Online. That is so cool. I just hope that, I know. Did you know Elder Scrolls Online actually went into beta?
Yes.
People are playing the beta.
Yeah, I signed up.
Don't you dare tell me that you got in the beta.
No, okay, I'm not in the beta. Don't worry, I'm not in the beta.
Like, Paul was.
But if I was, I couldn't tell you.
Oh, we're not supposed to tell people?
So, I was. Yeah.
Oh.
Please don't freeze frame that, anyone, ever.
A forced wink is, well, then again, there's always, anyways. Yeah, so I kind of hope that Elder Scrolls Online does live up to that. I think they had said in the past that this is going to be like the Elder Scrolls you like, just MMO-wise, or I'm putting words in their mouth.
I think it's going to be really cool. Mm-hmm. I think the story is going to be simplistic based on what we're used to from the Elder Scrolls franchise, but I don't think that that's bad, because I think that the story is going to be there. They're going to tell it really well, because that's something that Elder Scrolls is really, really good at, is that quests are based on quest lines as opposed to level.
Right.
So you don't usually see stuff that doesn't make sense. So I think that their story is going to be there, although I think it's going to be simplistic. I think the gameplay is strong because it's going to be very, very similar to what we've already seen from the franchise in games like Skyrim. And then it's going to have the whole PvP element to it, so I think it's going to be different there again from anything that we're seeing from anybody else and anything that we've seen from them before in the past. So I'm really looking forward to Elder Scrolls Online, but I definitely, although everyone was saying how great it would be if Skyrim had been an MMO, in that like it would be really cool if you could share the experience with your friends, I very much disagree with that. I love single-player RPG games where just the entire world is for me, about me, and reflects things that I've done. It so brings me into the experience. And I think that's what you really need when you have an RPG, a role-playing game, right? So I hope that once Elder Scrolls Online comes out, then, you know, we get a few months of that, you know, 6 months, maybe, you know, kind of holiday next year. I hope we get an announcement saying Elder Scrolls 6, this is what we're doing. Mm. I have no idea where they're going to go with it. But right. I really hope we get an announcement saying that they're at least thinking about it. And I predict that'll be kind of this time next year once Elder Scrolls Online has had some time to kind of pick up some steam. Because they don't want to, like, you know, release Elder Scrolls Online and then say that they're making Elder Scrolls 6 because mm-hmm. then you're going to kind of cannibalize your own stuff. It's like, well, if I know that there's another single player one coming out, I might be less inclined to pick up their subscription one, whereas if I think that that is the only thing that I'm going to get in the Elder Scrolls franchise in the near future, then I'm probably going to pick it up or be more likely to pick it up. By me, I don't mean me, Jocelyn. I mean me, the consumer,
the world.
Because obviously, I'm gonna throw my money at them regardless. I don't count.
Let's look at the numbers here. We do know for a fact that the people proper who worked on Skyrim have all moved on to a new project, or at least joined the team that was on pre-production. So they are working on something new for next-gen consoles and PC. Prior to Skyrim, they had developed Fallout 3 and Oblivion before that. The time between those, I believe, like, Oblivion was, like, launch of the Xbox 360, then Fallout 3 would have been
360, yeah.
3 years later?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so what do you think the chances of, even more so because there is an Elder Scrolls Online, us seeing a Fallout 4 as opposed to an Elder Scrolls 6?
Oh, man, I'd be so sad.
You'd be sad, but
I don't play Fallout. Mm. I have Fallout, but I haven't actually played it yet, and I know everyone's going to jump down my throat and tell me to play New Vegas, and I have it, and I will play it. Blah. Elder Scrolls is just one of my favorite franchises of all time. So, I don't know. I mean, like I said, they'd be stupid to announce it, you know, kind of spring 2014. If it's not announced until late 2014, if at all, then we're looking at 2016 as a release date. So, I mean, that would be, yeah.
That's 16 or 17,
probably. So, yeah, that's really far away. And if they announce a Fallout next year instead of an Elder Scrolls, then, I mean, we're looking at a 2015 release date, and I think that's probably a whole lot more realistic, is to go with a property that doesn't have anything up to date right now.
Yeah, I like all of Bethesda's games, and I did not beat Fallout 4. Or 3, no one's beat Fallout 4 yet. I did not beat Fallout 3, but I did enjoy what it was. Because of the setting and the weapons you're using, and even the mannerisms of the characters, it feels so different from Elder Scrolls. So I'd be happy to have both, but I mean, now that I'm knee-deep in Skyrim, I kind of would love to have an Elder Scrolls 6. But I think just so close to Elder Scrolls Online, it'd be really tough. Especially since Elder Scrolls Online is like taking all the continents of Elder Scrolls. Skyrim, Morrowind, wherever Oblivion took place. Where was Oblivion?
Oh, God.
Tamriel's
the world, right? Crap.
So if Skyrim, Morrowind, there's another little chunk.
So bad.
It's not Oblivion.
Well, actually, half the game was Oblivion.
Yeah, running up those stupid towers. I just ran past everybody to get to the top. Canada. No, that's Skyrim, sales geek. Come on.
Oh, my God.
It's so
totally reading Wikipedia right now.
I just gave up.
Radio of life.
It started with an N or an M? Oh, man, they even say it a bunch of times in Skyrim when you're talking to this guild that is based from the Oblivion Gates. What is it? Patrick Stewart lives there. Come on. He was the king for like 15 minutes. Spoiler alert.
Cyrodiil.
I knew it was with a C. I heard it today, too, actually, when I was playing. They mentioned Cyrodiil. Oh,
that's funny.
So maybe it was kind of like Canada. Fake geek podcasters.
Oh, ouch. The chat room just called us fake geek podcasters. Oh. I think not being able to rhyme off the name of a realm from a game that we played 7 years ago. Come on, slack, cut.
Yeah, come on now. I put 20 hours in a week into Skyrim.
So, So you're really enjoying Skyrim. Anyone who hasn't already picked it up should go and get it.
Of course.
It was the Legendary Edition.
Yes.
That came out recently with the new difficulty level. Is the new difficulty level included in not Dawnguard, Dragonborn?
Oh, I didn't even... What is it? Is it, like, Master or Legendary?
It's Legendary difficulty. Oh. So there's, like, you have your easy difficulty, your normal, your hard, your whatever it used to be, which I'm pretty sure was, like, Expert or something, because there was something above hard difficulty, and Legendary is one step up above that. It's, like, hardcore mode and anything else. Like, you die, you're dead.
Well, you know. I found with Skyrim... The extra difficulty levels were handy because, and the fact that you could change them on the fly without affecting your achievements.
Within combat.
Yeah.
You could change them in combat, which is insane.
It feels like you're cheating, but really that game is just so big and so, there's so many things you can do. It helps to have that difficulty balance because if you go back, I remember doing the Fighters Guild like a while ago and just plowing through it because it was like level 40.
Never do.
Well, you know, you never go back? Oh, the Fighters Guild.
No, I never do the Fighters Guild stuff, ever. Oh. In any iteration of Elder Scrolls, the Fighters Guild, I do every other quest line. Thieves Guild, Mages Guild, you know, everything, just not the Fighters Guild. I don't know why, it just never draws me in.
Weird. I guess you're not a fan of... they end up being furries in the end. so, you're probably best not to have gone through it. It was a weird endgame in that one. It's nice to have a difficulty change, and here comes the title. It's nice to have the difficulty changes because when I went back to that old content, I was just killing everything. So by increasing it, I don't think you get any extra XP or anything. It just makes them harder to kill. So it actually made it less like a, you know, headshot game, and then added a little more skill, a little more fun to it. So I didn't feel like I was just like, you know, in WoW, going through like an old zone just to get the story, right? I was getting the story, but it was also still proving to be a little bit difficult,
right?
Which is what you want in WoW. You want some sort of toggle switch, you know, so you can actually enjoy killing Hogger at level 90.
I don't know who that is.
It's.
Oh wait, did we talk about him last week or something?
No, Hogger is like this classic.
Is that the one that you could, the mob that you could find in the woods? Maybe I talked to Joel about it.
Yeah,
he was just randomly walking around, and he had a whole bunch of minions and stuff. And
he's the first elite you kill on the Alliance side. I remember he might have. I mean, Blizzard kind of turned him into this meme thing when they redid it for Cataclysm. But I remember back when I was playing.
Back in the day.
Oh man, some nostalgia coming at you. Hogger was just this, like, it was a quest kill, and he was, you know, yeah, he became an icon, as Scotty D says. He is. I mean, when everyone thinks about that first elite that killed them in WoW, it was Hogger, you know? Man, that guy.
Was it a giant boar? Iteration of Frogger?
No. I'm trying to think of what they're called. Why are you doing this to us? He's like, he was like a two-legged wolf
what?
Thingy. Gnoll, thank you. It was a gnoll. Not a gnoll, a two-legged wolf thing. Bored man. Okay. Let's stop talking about Hogger. This is going amazingly well. Let's talk about another game that came out 3 years ago so we can butcher it.
Oh my god. Speaking of games that came out way long ago that we tried to play this week, Roller Coaster Tycoon 3. Oh, right wow. Here.
How many people did you kill?
I didn't kill anybody. I couldn't remember how to do anything.
Can you kill people in that game?
You go in and it's like, do you want to run the tutorial? And I'm like, hells no. I used to play this all the time. I don't need the tutorial.
Oh, how wrong you were.
So it like throws you into these scenarios, which I didn't even know existed because I don't think they did way back in the day when it was just roller. I can't even remember again if I played Roller Coaster Tycoon or if I actually played Roller Coaster Tycoon 3. That's how long ago it was. Like it was the 90s when I played this game. So
I don't remember a lot from the 90s.
I tried without the tutorial and I was just like, I couldn't make any, I couldn't place anything. I couldn't do anything or figure out, like, because it used to be you would, like, click on a little person and it would tell you what they were thinking, what they liked and didn't like about the park, and that's how you knew what to change. Not this one. I was just like, I don't understand. It was trying to give me all this, like, information about the family that he was with, and I'm like, I don't need that kind of are you hitting on me, little sim man?
I don't understand what your family has to do with this. I just need you to ride the damn ride.
Exactly.
Or clean up.
Why do we have to bring family into this?
Yeah, let's leave the family aside here for a bit and let's have some fun.
Yeah, so if anyone is actually following me on Raptor or Steam, you're going to see like 10 minutes of this and 15 minutes of this because I had such a rough week trying to pick a game that wasn't WoW to play. Mm. I tried going through my Steam library and looking at all the indie titles and everything that I had really enjoyed playing, mm-hmm. like back in the day or hadn't picked up yet or people had told me it was good, so I tried Binding of Isaac. I tried what I thought was Tuki Tuki, but that is not what it's called. It's called Toki Tori, which, you know, come on, a little bit of slack cut there again, please. And I couldn't get into anything. Hmm. Like, I really, really liked Super Meat Boy, which was kind of in the same sort of vein as Binding of Isaac. Binding of Isaac is weird. It's like, have you played it?
Yeah.
Okay,
so it's weirdly, it's not at all like Super Meat Boy. It's got the same sort of like look, yeah. But it is it was addicting when I got into it. I haven't played it since, but it's kind of, what do they call it? It's like a roguelike. That's what they call it.
Mm.
You don't know what a roguelike is, do you? I mean, I hardly know what one is, and I mean, we've already gone down the rabbit hole of trying to define things and
yeah.
failing miserably, but hey, why stop there? It's kind of like where you go through, you're given like one life, and you go as far as you can, and it's yeah. sort of like grindy, but fun grinding.
Okay, well, I did try, yeah, so basically what happens, I am leaving that alone. I am being so mature right now.
Everyone in the chat room probably knows what I'm talking about.
Rogue
Legacy, you know what I'm talking about. Let's get down and dirty for a bit and talk about fun.
Okay, grinding. And that's the thing I was kind of confused about. In Rogue Legacy, when you die, you inherit stuff from the previous person. The idea is that, like, it's your kid or the next rogue in line or whatever, and they get your stuff. Does that happen with each iteration of the Isaac kid, or do you just die and your stuff is gone? Because in the little, like, not suicide letter, but the little letter that he leaves at the end when he dies says, like, today I got killed by this, and then there's, like, a little picture of what killed you, and then some cool things I found, and then, like, a picture of all the items that you picked up. So, do your items that are in the note get passed on to the next person? Because I definitely didn't see any kind of inventory or anything like that.
No.
Again, this is another thing that I was like, tutorial, psht.
Well, I mean, Binding of Isaac, a roguelike is sort of, like, described as something where you have one life, you try to get as far as you can, and when you die, you have to start over. And usually it's made fun by the fact that you're collecting something, or you're trying to get as, you know, trying to finish a collection of something, or get as far as possible to see how far you can get, or I'm missing one key part of it, and it keeps slipping out of my...
The other thing is that it's randomly generated. Mm. Each time I went down into the basement.
I was like, there's one key part to that makes Rogue Likes fun is that you're right. Everything is randomly generated, so you're going through. It's like, okay, great. Now I get to experience something completely different.
Right.
So that's, yeah.
Basically, you're this little kid whose mom starts talking to God, and God tells her to kill you, and you escape into the basement. But then what's in the basement is a whole bunch of awful, awful, scary things like ghouls and zombies and flies.
Well, I mean, this is based off of, what's the guy's name? It's Ed, right?
I believe so, yes.
Well, he's a big fan of religion, and when he made this game, he basically made it to key as to what he feels religion is like. That's a huge joke, mind you. I mean, I'm just saying that, like, it's funny because this game actually, was originally pegged for a 3DS release, and Nintendo's like, whoa. We are not touching this.
We are not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
Because it's. I think it was literally rejected for depicting views of religion. They will not approve any game that depicts a view of any religion, good or bad.
Right.
Which is kind of crazy. And this game is totally a satire, I guess? That's not right. Yeah, okay, it is right. But it is really weird and creepy. There are flies, and you're shooting your tears.
That's what I was going to say, is this little kid gets chased into the basement, and he's crying,
he's naked.
He's shooting his tears. He's naked? I didn't notice he was naked.
I think he's naked.
Maybe that's a mod you downloaded by accident. Oh, God.
It's been so long since I played. Anyways, let's move on. Maybe he wasn't. Now I'm a totally awful person.
I think it is long established fact that you are a totally awful person.
Or his mother is. I'm sick. It's the medicine talking. See, this is why we didn't podcast last night, Paul.
Oh, man. The chat room is now bringing up the shirtless Ryan incident and suggesting that maybe you just don't like clothes, which I'm going to go with.
Yes. I'm a fan of clothes.
So The Binding of Isaac is this really, really weird off-color game, the mechanics of which were okay, but again, I played 15 minutes of it or so.
Mm-hmm.
So between, and I feel like there was a couple of other things. If anyone else wants to know what I've been playing, just check Raptor, because it's literally this list of like 10 things I played in the last 3 days for like a couple of hours, and then like 6 hours of World of Warcraft.
So. Okay, he was right. He is naked. So you guys are awful people, making me feel awful.
So anyways, I just haven't been able to get into anything. So today I downloaded and installed the new Tomb Raider. So
good.
I'm going to try to give that a go for next week because I need something, Ryan. Nothing has really grabbed me in a single player. I mean, there was, I guess Bioshock Infinite was the last one that really grabbed me and made me sit down and play it all the way through. Right. I tried Red Dead and that didn't stick with me, which I know there's probably lots and lots of people again that are going to say, oh, best game ever, such a good story, I cried at the end or something. That grabbed me. So
cried at the end or something emotional like that.
Who has emotions? God.
This topic pops up a lot. On this show, we play a lot of games, and there's only a few games that really, like your words, grabbed us, or you know, that's the best way of putting it. Like sitting down in a chair and making it feel like I gotta go to the bathroom, but I also want to experience what's gonna happen next, and I don't know which is gonna happen first. You know, depending on how gripping it is, I may just have to go get adult diapers. I don't know. But I'm just thinking, like, for me now, while I'm waiting for Wind Waker, I was like, I need something to keep me occupied. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, go down that rabbit hole of, oh, this looks good, buy, play, yeah. Or this looks good, oh man, why did I buy this on the Steam sale 6 years ago?
This is the thing. I mean, between the Steam sale last Christmas and the Steam sale this summer, Joel probably doesn't want to know this, but somewhere in and around $300 to $350.
Yeah.
Around there. And I mean, some of it we gave away on the show, and you know, it all ended up going to good causes, but I have a big library of stuff I've never even touched. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely an issue, and I was trying to get around that and, you know, trying to get into some of these things that I'd bought or had been given through Steam because it's stuff I threw on my wish list or whatever. But I just, like, there are some things I just could not get into. And, like, this Toki Tori thing is, it's kind of like a puzzle game, which normally I love, but I'm sitting here on my PC thinking, I really wish this was an iPad game because you're like this little chicken and you have to collect all the eggs and the chicken can build a certain number of bridges in the level and you can teleport a certain number of times per level. And so, but you can only teleport so far. And so it's, you know, like it's an interesting, fun puzzle game with good graphics and a good sense of humor. But I don't know if I wasn't in the mood or if it's just not a PC game to me. I want to be doing something like that on the iPad on the way to work. So
yeah. Yeah, and I do this all the time where I'm like, I need a game, and I'll go through, and I'll end up just... I think I had someone message me once, because I just kept loading up different games, and like, I'll play Skyrim. I don't want to play Skyrim. I'll play Dead to Rights. I don't want to play Dead to Rights. Blah, blah, blah. And then like went through like 10 iterations of this thought process, and then someone messages me on Steam's like, dude, just pick a game. Because every time you load a game, a notification pops up.
That's what I'm finding now with Raptor, too, is that I now have Raptor and Steam popping up notifications when people start playing games. And I'm just like, man, I really have to turn this stuff off. Because more often than not, even if it's a multiplayer game that I want to jump in with, they're already playing with somebody else. I find it happens with Hearthstone all the time, is I'll be like, oh, I really want to play Hearthstone. And I see that, you know, someone just logged in and is playing Hearthstone. And then you get in and you can't invite them to a game because they've already jumped into PvP or they've already started playing with a friend or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, like, it's just, even when it's something I would want to play, I either don't want to interrupt their game or I can't. Right. And then I'm just like, well, you know, what's the point? So I think I need to disable all notifications because they really just don't help anybody.
Well, I mean, I like to know what people are playing from time to time. But if you really do want to know what people are playing, it's as easy as like clicking on the friends list. But
yeah,
if you are looking for a game and Tomb Raider doesn't quite hit it, we did talk about Rogue Legacy, and it's actually on sale right now.
It is this weekend.
40% off, Canadian game, made in Toronto. I found that out. It's a lot of fun, and one of the better roguelikes out there, where you feel there is that bit of progression and carryover, rather than just like Binding of Isaac, where it's just, oh, how far can I get this time, and when do I get to shoot pee out of my eye instead of tears?
What?
That happens. Sometimes you can shoot blood if you find the right item.
Oh my god, yeah. I don't want to get any further in this game.
It's a fucked up game. I think the expansion makes it a little worse too. You might want to just play Tomb Raider. There is blood. There's no urine, but there is blood in that game. So you're going to get half and half on that one. Before we move on. So you want
to mention this Kickstarter quickly before we head off. Still have a whole lot of goodbye. Show to go, guys.
You remember last year when Kickstarters were big? And it seemed like every week we were talking about what Kickstarter we were going to fund. Yep. The three big ones being Double Fine's Adventure, Republic on iOS, and GOTUS, the real-time strategy by Peter Molyneux, God Game.
The one that the reward for finding out what was in the box be the god in the God Game. Okay.
Yeah, so...
I remember this now.
Those are the three big ones. None of them are out yet. Except for GOTUS, which was funded late last year, and now we've got a beta. The beta is available early access for all Kickstarters who got the beta and the alpha, but also for those who want to jump in through Steam early access. I haven't tried it yet, so I don't know how good it is, so I can't tell you to go out and buy it. But I am going to be playing it, and we'll talk about it next week. But this is crazy because it's kind of like the first Kickstarter game that I've funded. And I'm actually starting to see some rewards from it. Now, I know Republic's going to be coming out soon, but I don't even know if we have a date for the Double Fine Adventure, or Broken Age, rather.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't had a whole lot of great experiences with Kickstarters. I just backed another one last week, but the only ones I've actually backed have been Nurtacular, which obviously was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I backed one last week for really cool, like, not press-on nails, but they're like, they're called nail wraps, and they're in a whole bunch of different geeky designs, and actually heard about it through Veronica Belmont. She was promoting the Kickstarter because she got a couple of the samples, and they're really, really cool, really easy to do. So I was just like, well, if I back this Kickstarter, you get way more than you would if I just went and bought them through the store. So I backed that Kickstarter. But the other Kickstarter I backed was for a stylus on the iPad, and I got it for Joel for his birthday. Joel's birthday was back in April, which was the shipping was supposed to, I think they were supposed to ship in March.
Right.
So, I mean, I had it way before, like the Kickstarter ended way before that. And then it was bumped back to July, and then it was just bumped back again till October. And they said that they still don't even know when they're going to deliver, but it probably won't be even in October. So I actually got lucky in that case because they let people, because they were, you know, 6 or 8 months behind their scheduled date, ask for a refund. So I ended up asking for a refund, and we're just going to go buy one that wasn't out at the time when I backed the Kickstarter. But right. I haven't had a whole lot of great experiences with Kickstarters and actually seeing stuff come to fruition, with the right. exception of the Nerdtacular one. So
yeah, I mean,
so good job, Nerdtacular people, Sales Geek in particular, even though he's being a jerk in the chat room.
Yeah, shit disturber. I mean, those Kickstarters are sort of for a product that we know is going to happen at a specific mm-hmm. date. Even Scott's Kickstarter, like, podcasts have always been great, delivered on everything promised. I mean, it's not like we're Frog Pant fans here at all. But the games are a little harder to predict. Other products like that, when compared to developing a podcast or an event. I'm not saying the event was hard. Nerdtacular was an immense event that would take a lot of planning and funds. But when it comes to these games, I know Republic is on track, but they are going to miss their scheduled summer release unless they get it out to us in the next 9 days. Broken Age, I believe, was set for a summer 2013 as well, and they're going to miss it. But we do know that those games are coming. It's not like some of those Kickstarters where you have a 50-50 chance and you're looking at it, it's like, yeah, my money ain't going to produce a result. So you just have to be patient when it comes to these Kickstarters. So
that's true.
I hope Goddess lives up to it, or Godess, or however. I think Goddess probably sounds better. Let's go with that.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
So Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. Which brings us to Quickfire News.
Zelda director gives an odd reaction to remake question. Over at IGN, when Eiji Aonuma was asked yet again about the possibility of a Majora's Mask remake, Eiji stated, "Please write that I laughed." Okay, let that sink in for a bit. He later extended on the request by saying, "If they want to interpret my laughter as, yeah, we're making it, or no, we're not, I guess that's really up to them." Fuck that guy. What an odd response. I think IG needs to move on to non-Zelda projects, as he may be going a little stir-crazy.
BlizzCon's virtual tickets are on sale now. Even their sales pitches are epic. I watched the video, dude, and seriously, epic. Yeah. The BlizzCon 2013 virtual tickets have gone on sale for $40. The ticket gets you HD footage of the event, entry into contests, as well as in-game goodies, which I'm pretty sure is going to be a battle pet, so I'm totally buying mine. Mm-hmm. Head on over to BlizzCon.com to go grab yours.
It's totally worth it. And this is why Hearthstone's going to be out before BlizzCon, because it includes Hearthstone items.
It does. Mm-hmm. So I agree. I think that they are going to either launch it at BlizzCon or maybe the week before or something. But yeah BlizzCon for sure.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of November, Fable Anniversary delayed. The Gamers Inn most anticipated Xbox anything for this holiday season has been delayed into 2014. Here's hoping they use the extra time to include an Xbox One release to sweeten the next-gen pot.
Totally not ignoring you and typing into the chat room. I didn't realize that you were going to write such short, quick news, because you never, ever do that.
That one was long, and I figured my next one was long, so I cut a lot of banter. There was like a soliloquy in there where I sang a verse, so I took it out of there.
I see.
Figure no one want to hear that.
Xbox buys Xbone.com. Microsoft has purchased the Xbone.com domain from an unnamed entity for an unnamed price. The term Xbone has been used since the official announcement to make fun of the console and Microsoft's policies. Xbox's Major Nelson spoke out against the nickname on Monday, saying it disrespects the product and the team. Microsoft probably won't use the domain for anything, but the move does prevent it from falling into the wrong hands.
Hmm. Evidently, this guy's not used to working in the video game industry yet. Bethesda speaks the truth about Nintendo. Vice President of Public Relations Pete Hines gave Nintendo exactly what it needed to hear on a recent Game Trailers bonus round. "If you're just going to decide, we're going to make a box, and this is how it works, and you should make games for it. Well, no. No is my answer," said Hines. "I'm going to focus on other ones that better support what it is we're trying to do." Hines finished up by saying, "Nintendo should do what Sony and Microsoft have done with Bethesda for a long time, in regards to keeping developers in the loop when developing a console. Basically, what it boils down to is that Nintendo needs to open up to big developers rather than building mystery boxes behind closed doors."
The Ouya just can't seem to catch a break. Ouya launched a dollar-for-dollar program promising to match a game's kickstarted funds if the game became an Ouya exclusive for 6 months, in an effort to bring more titles to the struggling system. Two games have taken part so far. One has been pulled from Kickstarter, and the other raised almost $200,000. Sorry, it says $250 in the notes, but $250 is the limit of what Ouya was offering. So they raised almost $200,000 with a very limited number of backers, leading people to believe they are money grabs as opposed to actual projects. Looks like Ouya will have to find another way to attract both gamers and developers to their platform. So that brings us to our topic of the week, and this actually came from an episode of Tech News Today. I believe it was on Tuesday, and they talked about an article that was written that basically was looking at shipment numbers of different consoles and arguing that basically the console is dead, that everything is moving over to mobile, and they were agreeing. And I was just like, no, no! I was yelling at the TV, and I was like, that's it, topic. I have a platform for this.
Wait. All the guys on Tech News Today were agreeing that this article was correct?
Yes.
Oh. Who's on Tech News Today? Isn't that Tom Merritt?
It is Tom Merritt. It's Tom Merritt and Ayaz Akhtar and Sarah Lane. And I usually love them, and I usually agree with them. And Tom is a gamer. It's not like they're just tech people coming at this with no game experience. But they were saying, oh, yeah, you know, like my console's collecting dust, and I use it for, you know, the Blu-ray player, but nothing else. And I was just like, yeah, but does that mean that you're gaming on a PC? Does that mean you're gaming on your phone? Or does that mean you're just not gaming? Because there's a big difference between saying my console's collecting dust and I'm gaming in other ways and other places, or just my console's collecting dust. We're at the end of a console cycle. Mm-hmm. So, Ryan, you're not going to be able to see this, but I'm going to throw it up for the chat room. And throw so this is the graph that they showed. And basically, this is Nintendo's products. Since, I believe, 2003, but I can't remember. Chat room will be able to see it much bigger. But it's basically all of Nintendo's offerings in the console market, and they are using basically all dedicated gaming systems. So the 3DSs and everything are in there as well. And it's showing that there's basically this huge downturn in the market. But as we've discussed before, I just can't get behind this, because Nintendo, the Wii U, is basically Nintendo's answer to the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. So I don't think that you can take the Wii U as an example of a next-gen console, and you can't look at the Wii U numbers and say, see, consoles are dead, because the Wii U is not representative of what next-gen consoles have to offer. And well, I think that... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that is not true technically. That is true technically, in the sense that the Wii U has nothing, it can't even stand close to the PS4. And it's also not an answer to the PS3 or the Xbox 360. It was really an answer to, shit, the Wii is we can't support this thing anymore. We got to get another console. I mean, if you look at the other contenders, Microsoft and Sony, they're working on a new model, the 8 to 7 year model. You know, they're creating a new model for when to refresh their hardware for a new generation, whereas Nintendo is operating on the old model where every 5 years we're going to release a new one. I mean, the Wii U was, I think, five years since the Wii. Well, I might be wrong on that one, but you're right, though. The Wii U is an awful example to use in an article like this, because the what's happening with the Wii U is very unique when it comes to how consoles have been released in the last, you know, 20 years, in the sense that those consoles had games. Wii U had no games for 8 months, and that is representative on that sales chart as a giant sloping down, you know?
Yes, you can barely see the Wii U. I put the graph back up, so you can barely see where the Wii U starts. It's a light green line in between, just above where the 3DS and the 3DS XL lines, which are pink and purple, meet, and it goes literally, like, pretty much straight down. And so what that is it's a 12-month trend line, which is why the Wii U's is so short, is because it's only been out for a year? Has it even been a year yet?
It'll be a year in November.
Yeah,
November
so 19th. With the 12-month trend line, it's gone from, you know, not too bad sales right at the beginning to none. So basically, this is in millions of units sold. So you can see the Wii U, or sorry, not sold, shipped. So we have 3 million units shipped right at the launch in Q3, I guess, of last year. And then down to, like, basically no units shipped, like, not even on the chart sort of thing for this year, or this quarter. So, I mean, the Wii U is not really representative of what I think is going to happen in consoles. Right. I mean, like, and one of the arguments that they were saying is that you'll see the spike at the beginning as the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, all the hardcore gamers go and pick up their next-gen console, and that's, like, that's where you're going to see your spike, and then it's all just going to be the exact same trend lines as the Wii U. And I was like, well, not really. They were saying that the Wii was the last example of bringing non-gamers into the console space, and that's fine, because that's what they're arguing that mobile is doing, is bringing non-gamers into a gaming space.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of people who probably weren't gamers before who picked up a Wii, who went, oh, this is actually really fun, and then got games like, you know, the Marios and Skyward Sword, and kind of went, oh, I actually really like this. And those are much closer to some of the lower end offerings on the higher end systems. They're like Nintendo's high end and they're everybody else's low end. Yeah. So then I feel like the jump from a Wii to, you know, an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4, that's not a really big jump. And I think that there's probably a lot of people who owned a Wii that this time around will be jumping to those bigger consoles. I think we're going to see a huge uptick in console gamers come November.
Well, I mean, I it'll be interesting to see. I think they're correct in the sense that a lot of hardcore gamers are going to be the main ones going out to pick up consoles day one.
Well, day one, yeah. But in terms of the first four quarters...
Yeah, in terms of the first year, you're going to see people wanting to upgrade. Microsoft and Sony are being very explicit that this is the new generation, this is new hardware, this is something you're going to want to get as opposed to going out and buy a PS3. And that's another nail in the coffin that Nintendo did to the Wii U, in the sense that they did not advertise this as a new console. They just sort of put it out there while still keeping the wildly... not wildly successful, but the widely known Wii brand around. Mm-hmm. So if you go to Walmart, there's like a couple cases of DS, a couple cases of Wii U, and then a couple cases of Wii. You know, if people go in there and say like, oh, this Wii is like $100. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick up one of these. And it happens a lot. I mean, and it's going to happen too with the new consoles as well, where they'll go in and they'll say, well, you know, this is really expensive. We should just buy our kid an iPhone or an iPod Touch or whatever. But I don't think that means the death of consoles. I still do think that I was into mobile games when the iPhone started to come out. Now I don't play them at all because they're just, I mean, these business people and tech guys and mobile fans can come in and say like, you know, the iPhone's great, plays great games. But when it comes right down to it, the games do not match the quality that you can get on a dedicated gaming hardware. Like, be it a 3DS, a Vita, a PS3. Now, does that mean that thought process is going to keep those companies alive as opposed to mobile? Maybe, maybe not. But for me, it still means that they're going to get my money as opposed to throwing 99 cents at each game that comes out on the iPhone.
I would also be really interested, because again, this is a very Nintendo-centric study, I guess, article.
The best to study when you're looking at the health of the video game industry.
Very true. Consoles specifically, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I feel like what would be really interesting to me would be if there were numbers somewhere, and I know that they're made up of so many different companies, so it'd be almost impossible, but maybe like Nvidia would probably be a good company to study as to what PC, like, are people switching to PCs? Have the hardcore gamers at the very tail end of this console cycle moved over to PCs instead? Because I know that's what I've done. Mm-hmm. Ever since I got my system in December, I've hardly touched my Xbox, with the exception of playing BioShock, just because I'm at the PC all day for work, and then I game on the PC a lot. So I wanted a break, and that's why I got BioShock on Xbox instead of on PC. So generally, my trend in my home has been back to PC gaming from consoles, because they're at the end of the cycle and stuff just looks way better on the PC and is more responsive. So I would be interested to see PC numbers in there as to, you know, like how many regular PCs, like regular desktops, how many laptops, how many gaming laptops, how many gaming desktops, because, like, you know, like, who, where are you selling your video cards? Like, mm-hmm. what are those numbers in terms of shipping? Because I'm sure that they've probably gone up like crazy as well.
Well, I mean, Steam has a pretty, from what I remember, they have a really good stats section of the Steam app, where you can look at all the different games that are being played, how many people are logged on to Steam, how many people, you know, have Steam. They do mm-hmm. a hardware survey every once in a while that lets you know, like, the percentage of people running Steam on Windows, Windows 7, right. Mac, whatever. I mean, this study, while I'm sure is really well done, but, I mean, what is people's fascination, first of all, with predicting the death of things? like, really, guys? Like, can't we all just have fun? I mean, looking at this graph, sure, more people need to buy Nintendo products. But, you know, the moral of the story is, I really hope Nintendo looks at this and says, like, shit, we need to do something. There's a lot of slopes, I mean, here. You know, we could yeah. probably put some more games out. But, you mentioned PC gaming. I mean, it's a really good time to be a PC gamer. And I think when you compare the PC and the mobile, they're very similar in the sense that there's a wide range of games you can get, as opposed to the consoles, where with PC you can get all these little, like, indie games all the way up to MMOs. You know, it's the same thing with your iPhone. I can play a free-to-play card game that's super simple, like maybe something like Solitaire, and go all the way up to, like, an MMO on the iPhone. You know, it's just crazy. The but also, all those sales for mobile and PC, you got to figure out, it's like, well, is this person just buying a spreadsheet machine? Is this person just buying, God forbid, a phone? Mm-hmm. You know, so obviously sales are going to be much higher.
And that is an excellent point, is that the phones do so much that, mm-hmm. you know, they are not dedicated gaming platforms. And is it even, I mean, because often they're saying, like, oh, so many million iPhones have been sold. It's like, well, yeah, but there's a whole lot of people that own iPhones that don't game. So yeah. you can't really compare hardware to hardware because the hardware doesn't do the same thing. Yeah. So I think you can definitely maybe look at games played numbers, or, you know, there's so many different things to look at here. And actually, chat room sales geek in the chat room is saying that while everything that's going on that we've been talking about, we're playing games on mobile, and Ryan said he's not, but I do still on my commute, so mm-hmm. fair enough. That even after the next gen, we're still going to be playing games on mobile, so it's becoming the biggest platform, and doesn't mean that the others are gone. Yeah. Which, again, fair enough, it is a big platform. It's just that general, like, the specific article that we're talking about was basically saying, like, consoles are dead. No yeah. more to consoles. Like,
well, the title is Game Over. And
yeah, so I mean, actually, and I'll throw the link. I should have done this back when we started, but I'll throw the link in the chat room here now.
Now, think back, you know, 15, maybe 20 years ago, when it was literally just Nintendo. When it was literally just the arcade. When it was literally just the Sega Genesis. There's a lot of anyways, just think about it when it was just one thing you were doing for your gaming entertainment. Now, there is just so many. So the reason the charts are so high, you know, in the past, as compared to now when they're so low, is because people have more options. So you're splitting mm-hmm. your market. Therefore, obviously, it does look like there's a downward trend for the video game industry, when really, the industry has been very successful these past few years, as mm-hmm. opposed to, say, 20 years ago. I mean, look at the Call of Duty franchise. That is most played on Xbox. Yeah, it's a first-person shooter. So if you were to say that to somebody 20 years ago, they would laugh you out the door. You know, like, oh, a first-person shooter that's on a console and people choose to play it with a controller? Oh, you're nuts. You're crazy. Go to the loony bin or something, you know? So I just... And maybe we're looking at this from a biased view, because we are big gamers and we kind of are proof that this isn't true. But I don't know. I find it hard to agree with any article predicting the death of something that's doing so well, in my mind.
Well, and I think the timing of the article is very interesting, mm-hmm. given that we are 6 weeks. Well, I guess two months away from the launch of two huge console offerings that have pre-orders in the millions, yeah. and, you know, like, it just, it's really interesting timing. Like, oh, look, the industry's dead. Don't pay attention to what happens 2 months from now. Read my article now, you know? So it's interesting timing. Again, I don't necessarily agree with the fact that the console is dying. I definitely will not be going out and getting it day one, either one, the PlayStation or the Xbox, but that has nothing to do with the technology. That has nothing to do with the games offerings. It's purely budgetary. So, well, I mean, like, yeah. which, again, it could be another reason for the death of the console. You know, like, people just can't afford these hundreds of dollars when they're buying an iPhone for the same amount. You know, they get so much more. The game quality isn't necessarily there, but, you know, they get the phone and everything else. They're entertained, they can watch stuff, they can surf, they can tweet, yeah. all of that stuff from one device for the hundreds of dollars, or a console for hundreds of dollars. I get that, but
yeah
I mean, I don't know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I just I mean, if anything, this article just it proves that, you know, they should have wrote this article like 6 months after, and I know they probably didn't want to wait. I mean, this is the perfect time to release it, what with the Wii U doing so poorly over the last year. I think this would have been the perfect time to look and say, like, maybe let's revisit this article a year after PS4 and Xbox One launch, because I think those are going to be the real next-gen consoles to watch. I mean, because mm-hmm. as we've said many times on this show, I mean, Nintendo just shot themselves in the foot by releasing a box with a tablet attached to it saying, hey, you're gonna love our mini games, mm-hmm. and then not releasing anything for it for 8 months. And again, it'll be interesting to revisit this article in a year, having now that Nintendo's actually gonna be releasing games for it.
And right.
We'll see how sales are affected then, or whether it's too late because all the next gen consoles are coming out.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? So next week on The Gamers Inn, we are going to have Andrew Allen of Free Play fame. We promise this time.
Oh, God, no. You gotta make sure now.
Yeah, really. So if you have any questions for him, you can feel free to email us, tweet us, or Facebook us. Is Facebooking us a thing? I guess it's a thing.
It is now. You said it. We're live, so... I'll have to edit that out and just put Google Plus over in there.
Yeah. So, if you guys have any questions for Andrew Allen, then he is going to be on with us around 9 p.m. He's just going to come on for the topic next week. So, cool. We're very excited to have him on. And again, if you have questions, just contact the show and we will ask him, which pretty much brings us to the end of our show. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com or email us at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on AMOVE TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, and This Week in Blizz. Don't forget to head on over to slashloop.com where you can get fantastical Gamers In shirts like this one. Yay, Gamers In shirts.
I was going to say, I'm not wearing one.
No, you're not wearing yours. We didn't
Which
match.
Which is good, so because sad. Then that would have been awkward. One of us is going to have to go change.
I like when we match. It's adorable. Shush.
Well, I'm not going to change. Sorry, go ahead.
You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer, Ryan at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout-out and thank you to Greg Moffitt for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week with Andrew Allen.
I'll be here
Bye,
too.
Guys.
Bye.